Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Is WWE's 24/7 championship new brand new title thingamajig a good idea? I'm Ollie Davis, this is housemate Simon, because Laurie and Luke are still off after their Herculean efforts over the weekend going to Nottingham to see the WrestleGate Pro show, live streaming Money in the Bank and everything. So give it up for housemate Simon in the housemate Hyman section. I'm trying to get you over so bad.
I know, it's
I've
not gone
unfortunately
well.
Given you an awful new nickname. It's the hymen!
Does that count as breaking Simon. A hymen if it's the first time you've done it here?
Possibly. First time you've said it. Get that in. And we are, of course, joined on the Super Chats by Randy Andy Datsun from WrestleTalk.com,
yes.
Who will be taking your Super Chats and will get to your questions and feedback on this beautiful new championship belt design after we've covered what happened. So, what happened? They promoted this at Money in the Bank. They said Mick Foley's going to be here next week, guys. No, sorry, the next day. And he's going to unveil a new championship belt.
Didn't he just?
And we you speculated that it could be a Legends belt.
Yeah.
Something that Goldberg Undertaker can fight over at Saudi Arabia.
Which I thought briefly was still going to happen, because in his promo he said, this is something that you dream about on the way to becoming a legend. I went, oh, okay, here it comes.
And that colour scheme, the gold and green, is kind of synonymous with the Saudi Arabian belt as well. Was that?
Yeah.
That was green,
that
wasn't
was
it?
That was green, yeah.
but then I thought,
because it sort of came out,
It had a little crept beat. Down a little, didn't it? Because it was in a bag. But then I was thinking it would be a hardcore belt, because that's so synonymous with Mick Foley. It was retired with him, the Hardcore Championship, back in the day. And he comes out and he starts cutting this promo immediately. Did you notice that? He walked out like there was no time to do this.
Yeah.
His entrance music had barely hit and he was already cutting a promo on the ramp, walking down.
This is happening a lot, though, because this happens on SmackDown a lot, where like someone will be going up the ramp and then someone else's entrance will just start.
Mm.
They've got this weird thing where they're trying to, like when Elias came out, Money in the Bank was sort of like, they're trying to like blend everything into these like weird, I don't know why they're doing it. But
I think they think it's exciting and it's like ships passing in the night. But here it just seemed like Foley had to be somewhere else and he was trying to get through this promo as quickly
and
as
soon
possible.
He would wish he was somewhere else.
Yeah, even as he was getting in the ring, he did not pause. He was as he was going through the ropes, he was still talking, and he's cutting this long promo, and he says, "It here is the new belt. It's a 24/7 championship."
Yeah,
and you can hear in the New York crowd this noise.
Yeah,
like 5,000 people, however many it was, all did that noise.
The air left the room.
Yeah,
it was actually weird.
I was surprised it went down that. Indifferently.
I thought it was going to be indifferent.
Mm.
Like it'll start as a cheer and you'll hit some boos. It'll just be like mute. It would just be one of those weird middle of the road reactions. I did not expect that within 30 seconds it was getting full boos.
Heat.
Yeah. It was getting that bell had expat heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's when it happened, I think when you hear it first off, it's a 24/7 belt. With 24 and 7 on the title design, it seems a bit stupid. And it also seems like, oh, that hardcore title that everyone remembers so fondly from the Attitude Era, you're just doing a PG watered down version of that.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, the 24/7 rule was so much fun. Like, it didn't have to be the hardcore side of things has kind of been left in the early noughties. But the 24/7 thing, there's no reason you can't do that very, very well in this day and age in a PG product. And this is a long way of getting around the saying, I like the idea.
Why? Other than broadly speaking, thinking there might be, there could possibly be a good way of doing 24/7. But as of now, why do you like it?
Because one of my favorite things in wrestling is the DDT heavy metal, Iron Man heavy metal weight belt. Are you familiar with this championship?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So that has had, Andy, actually look up all the reigns of that belt. That is a belt that can be defended at any time. Once, a ladder fell on top of the belt and pinned it. And the ladder was the champion. Once, a dog, a cat, a wrestling poster. What was my favorite one? It was, oh, the belt itself. The belt itself was temporarily the champion.
Ladder was champion for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
4 weeks.
It was a dominant champion. They booked him strong.
Yeah.
Any other notable reigns?
Was Jack the Jobber a champion?
Yeah, he was, unfortunately. Yeah. That was the bad period.
Oh, my God. There have been...
The Reign of Terror.
Is it still defended to this day?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So the current champion... Oh, wait.
It's a fridge.
There have been...
This is great TV.
Really good stuff, actually.
Sorry, there have
people
been 1,000...
Speed dog is really interesting.
1,961 champions. The current champion is a man called Yoshihiko, who has had it for over 46 days now, and he won it in New York at a live event at a 7-person battle royal.
Mm, yeah. There was... I remember Joey Ryan, I think it was,
won it.
The crowd somehow won it. A wrestling crowd somehow won the belt off of Joey Ryan. And then they all started clapping themselves. And that Joey said that counted as them submitting. And he won the belt back off of them. It's so funny. And I don't think they're going to, like WWE, are going to go to that sort of abstract avant-garde extents to it. But I think there is tremendous mileage in this concept. We've already got three champions. There was a title scramble of everyone just trying to touch the belt first, which is ridiculous. Titus O'Neil won. Then Robert Roode attacked him on the ramp. He won it. And then R-Truth tricked Robert Roode, sent everyone the other way who were chasing him, pinned him, and then said, I'm going to defend this European Championship on SmackDown. Yeah. Now, it's already fantastic.
If that was the DDT belt, the car would have won it in between times.
Yeah, because it had...
When the boot went down.
Yeah, that was a pin.
I said R-Truth should have just laid on top of the on top of the boot.
Yeah. Imagine just getting a notification on your WWE app. Oh, see what happened at, I don't know, Tyler Breeze's house this week. And it's just a member of the Ascension running in while he's having a Sunday roast. And pinning him for the title.
I do think it definitely makes sense just in terms of funny comic relief to have like that sort of thing happen.
Mm.
But what part of the apparatus around this do you think will produce that result? Because I don't see any evidence to suggest, because in Mick Foley's preordained speech about the belt, in the grittier section of Raw,
that was weird.
Someone's going to get pinned in a Chuck E. Cheese. It's not like, I don't see how wacky. This is the wacky belt. This isn't the like hard. This is nothing like the hardcore belt.
No.
And that, even that, like, I think the problem with having a non-hardcore, quote unquote hardcore belt of any description, is that now people are getting pinned just been donked on the head on the side of a car. People get donked on the head on the ring posts all the time and they don't get pinned. So it's the,
Charlotte.
Well, apart from Charlotte, that's true. But I don't know, it just doesn't... I think, in theory, I agree with you. There's no part of me that believes the execution will be quite as up to scratch as we think. Because also, if there's anything that's going to cement you as I mean, literally, this is the brass ring that everyone is now going to be just latched onto and will never be able to reach the next one.
Or the undercard.
Yeah.
It's very much an undercard comedy belt.
Yeah.
But what if, like, Seth Rollins accidentally won it? Like, he's just walking along with his Universal title and there's the champion on the ground after falling over on a banana skin. Yeah. And he pins him.
Yeah.
Would you think that would legitimize the belt?
Well, they say it's the champion that makes the belt.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, then he just defends all the time.
No, I really want it to be good because I agree with you that it could be really fun.
Yes,
and if the right creative people are on it, hopefully more the online people who have a bit more of a sense of what's called irony, they might be able to, because then it could have a genuinely long lifespan. I would far rather see that happen than battle royals and more pointless trophies that look like chocolate.
Yes.
And, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, like, in theory, I'm there, but I just want to see it happen.
You're apprehensive about WWE's execution.
Yes, I am.
And that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I'm not going to pin my hopes to this. But I'm just, there's not much to be optimistic about WWE at the moment. So this is my, and I love comedy wrestling. And I'm just hopeful.
Yeah. The current champion is a blow-up doll. Of the
Iron Man belt.
Oh, is it the same one that
Kota Ibushi
had a fight with? Yeah, Ibushi and Omega had a fight with.
That is the current champion.
Well, this is interesting because...
That doll's had a long career in DDT.
yeah, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mick Foley said, and this is when I started to get excited about it, that it's not just Raw and SmackDown wrestlers who can fight. It's NXT. It's NXT UK. It's 205 Live. And former legends as well. Not former legends, I guess... They're legends,
but
they're former wrestlers. Yeah,
but it's quite funny how in his speech about the belt that anyone can win, very clearly defined for us who will now win it over the next few months. It's going to be. It's going to start here. Someone online in the next week who's from NXT or 205 Live is going to win it, and then at some point, probably at a pay per view. Hacksaw Jim Duggan will win it.
Yes.
And it'll just, it's like, it's just quite funny how he just laid it out. Like, well, at least leave something as a surprise.
No, I think this was good. Because, well, here's something that he didn't mention, but I think this is ripe for. Celebrities.
Yeah.
This is a perfect way to fudge in a celebrity into a wrestling show and it be funny.
Yeah.
I want a member of Survivor or whatever stupid shows they're always promoting. Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore would be... I mean, he's pretty much pro-wrestling anyway.
Do you think it was quite weird that he seemed to specifically avoid saying women wrestlers?
Did he avoid saying...
I think it felt like a... I think he was nervous about the promo as soon as he started getting booed out of the building,
yeah.
Which is fair enough. But it did feel like there was a point where... He was kind of listing everything and even said, okay, like guys or gents or what, like he signaled the male wrestlers to come in. So it was quite odd that
there were no female wrestlers. Yeah. I imagine it would be just the way WWE do things. They don't let women can hit men, but men can't hit women
in
their universe.
But in a scrabble for the belt, couldn't someone have nipped in?
Just decked a lady.
No, not decked a lady, but like. In the whilst they're all fighting, you know, like Alexa or Nikki or whoever
could have just snuck
in, grabbed it, and
Nikki would have been perfect for that, like Nikki Cross. Yeah, that would have been really good. I think it's the sort of crazy belt that would be quite funny to have lady wrestlers wrestle for it as well, because they don't have to be physically beaten.
No.
You could trick them.
Miz Dad
would be a perfect champion. A fighting champion.
A fighting champion. A real champion.
Yeah. So I'm excited, but a lot of people, I guess the main criticism is that the belt sucks.
Okay, so what do you think about the design? Because I think it looks like a gold record from the like a Motown record.
Mm.
Which normally is not a bad thing.
That's why I don't mind it. I like the Art Deco font. I like the green leather. I like the circle. I think I'm the only person who doesn't mind the design.
I don't mind it.
Mm.
I'm not against it. I'm not jazzed about it. I think it's fine.
Okay. Randy Andy Datsum. You were quite annoyed by
it. I don't like it. I think, like I said, I think it looks like one of those like novelty pennies you get if you when you like put a penny into a machine at a famous landmark and then you turn the crank and it like squishes the penny.
Kind of thing you get like a shopping trolley with.
Yeah, exactly. It's better than some belts, but it's better than the Divas belt.
Where do you rank it alongside the Viking Experience as a name?
Oh, it's better than that.
Because you almost quit your job that day.
Hey, I'm Andy Datsun, never take holiday. Oh, wait, I should have done Andy never takes holiday Datsun.
Or just no days off, Andy Datsun. Yeah.
24/7 Datsun.
Yeah, he's a 24. You are the belt. You are the champion. You're even wearing green.
I'm the 24/7 WrestleTalk champion.
Yeah.
And you've got blonde hair.
Yeah.
You are the colour scheme of this belt. Mm. So you don't mind it. No, I quite like it.
But my only thing with it is that normally belts reflect something about the rules or signifiers of who can fight for that belt. So like the European Championship used to have European flags on it. World Championships always have globes on them, that sort of thing. Obviously, they've thrown that out of the bag with the Universal Championships. Yeah. But I'm struggling to see, like, because it's not, is it supposed to be like clockish?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Or the shape of the planet and the concept of a day. If you would say what shape is a day, I would say
circle.
I would say a circle.
Okay. Well,
do you want it to? Do you want there to be like
a clock,
a sunrise here on one side, and then stars?
I think it should be other. It should be a literal clock that counts the rain.
That's quite so funny. The,
so
like, reset
so the
it
side
every time.
Plates should be like a digital,
yeah,
like an Apple Watch basically, and it should count your steps and your whatever as a champion.
I like that. Well,
you should be able to track it online. This is what it should be.
Like Santa's sleigh.
It should be like a giant Apple Watch that we can track who's got it for how long, where they are, where they've run to. Like, so then you can have all these like weird stats about people could fight over it because like they ran the furthest.
Maybe that's what AEW will have with all the stats.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's get over to our super chat, see what they're saying about the belt design.
If it was a clock, it would be 7:05, if you're looking at it that way. Vernon Jeffries simply says, is this the worst title belt you've ever seen? We've kind of gone through that.
No. No, there's been much worse.
The Divas belt is the worst.
The pink butterfly.
Yeah. Jobber JJ, the concept is there. It gives TV time to more guys.
Yeah. It's a 3-hour show. They've got TV time.
They've just literally this week clocked on the idea they could have more than two matches.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
That was fun, wasn't it? Wrestling on a wrestling show.
Fuzzable HD and C Rock have not said anything, but they've given us some nice donations. So thank you to them. John Leslie Ruby says, "Randy, Andy, Datsun merch shippable to Canada."
It's not shippable anywhere at the moment because it doesn't exist.
You could just have my shirt and just send them that.
The shirt you've been wearing.
Yeah.
The 24/7
got themed. My fug. Tyrone Keith Peltzer says, hashtag impeach Vince, WWE has hit rock bottom.
I thought this was an improvement over... Look, the first 3 weeks after Mania were god-awful. But last week and this week, it's not unwatchable.
I thought this show was perfectly watchable. I didn't ever get particularly bored. I was annoyed with the whole we had another set of the tag thing again. But if we're gonna just throw S at the wall, as is the constant phrase being used, this isn't by any means the worst version of that.
No,
this is not a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
this has someone's had a reasonable idea here. So I don't think everyone needs to lose their mind quite yet.
Well done, WWE.
Paul Pierce says, what if they made an angle with the refs? They messed up at the WrestleMania main event, Samoa Joe and the steel cage from Shane and Miz.
So what, this could work, because actually now you can now include all the stuff that they constantly commentate on but don't ever do anything with. So stuff like refs and whatever. Now you can have like weird blow-offs.
A ref could win the belt.
Yeah, stuff that people noticed online. You can have a blow-off for it
just on Twitter
and let it, then it kind of,
that's a good point. It's a very memeable belt. Like, this could, you can make funny things about this on Twitter and all their social media and the YouTube videos that can sort of correct themselves by the time Raw comes around.
I've convinced myself I like it.
There we go.
Fuzzable HD says, can you shout out my best friend Joseph Beamish?
Cool, Joseph Beamish. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Josh Paulson says, first off, don't be a Vince, Ollie. Let Simon get over naturally. Second, do you think the 24/7 title is uglier than the Universal title?
No, I think the Universal title's gross.
Yeah, I don't like Universal title.
I prefer that, to be honest.
Yeah. Has anyone seen the film Kinky Boots?
Yes.
That's what the Universal title looks like.
Yeah.
Sort of red PVC, like a gimp mask.
Do you think I'm pushing you down people's throats? Just called him housemate Hyman.
Yeah, I know.
I buried him at the start.
Rocky Balboa, big fan, says, hi, Ollie, Simon, and Andy. Hello, Rocky Balboa.
Hello
Rocky Balboa.
Mm. Zach Lindner says, break in the housemate Hyman merch, baby.
Don't say break in.
Yeah. This is on you.
I know.
Yeah.
Egg on your face, sir.
The Elite 67 says 24/7 should be the smashed spinner belt.
So yeah, I can see. I'm sympathetic to people saying it could have a other design, but then if it is smashed up, you immediately want it to be hardcore. So I think it's actually you kind of have to have it not be that, because this feeds into my other weird thing with it, which is that Foley said, so this is a 24/7 belt, but he also said it will be defended in the last hour of Raw. So I was like, so is it only 24/7 during the last hour of Raw? Which is apparently grittier, but how can it be gritty and also people getting like pinned by mascots in a Chuck E. Cheese? That is really throwing S at the wall. Like, there's a lot of confusion in that moment, I thought.
We didn't talk about that. We should cover that, Mick Foley said the last hour of Raw every week is going to be
gritty.
It's going to get a little bit dirty. Yeah. And then the crowd lights turned off. Did you notice that for the last hour of the show?
Was that when they went off? Because I noticed the ringside went dark. Like the Raw was black on red on black rather than, you know.
Yeah, so that's more similar to how NXT and Evolution produce the shows. Evolution being the women's pay-per-view.
But that isn't making it grittier.
Well, I guess mean grainier. Did he mean to say that? You'll have to put up the filters on the camera more with but visual grain.
But I sort of know what.
I don't know what it's kind of Raw After Dark, yeah. Isn't it? What they're going for.
Yeah.
But then they put Baron Corbin in the main event.
Yeah, it's very much just putting a hat with gritty written on it on the thing that's already not gritty, rather than actually having the balls to change the core product in any way.
Yeah, I said in my review at the end, like, I'm glad that WWE are trying to make changes to improve.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this belt and turning off the lights, whatever. But stop putting Corbin in the main event and don't beat Ricochet. Those are the more important things. Who's looking at WWE and going, I think the last hour's too bright. That's how we change this and turn this ship around.
Well, this is always, as to use a really rubbish TV term, a hat on a hat, which is just the constant. So, like, we need to get some new Cesaro over. Who do people like that they'll believe in beating? Oh, Ricochet, they like him. Oh, but we can't have him he can't put him over, so let's make his back hurt. So, like, at this point, just make it EC3.
Yeah.
Like, you've already, like, by this time, they could have already been talking through their match. There's no need to, they do this all the time, this, like, constant, everyone's got to, they're desperate to get five guys on TV every week, and they forget that they've got this whole roster of people that are good. And
fighting over this belt.
Yeah, now they can fight, so maybe, yeah, I don't know, it's hats on hats all around.
Danny DeVito, another massive fan of ours, says, even Foley looked embarrassed to present the title.
I think he looked embarrassed just to be booed.
That's why he was rushing through it.
Yeah, probably. I felt sorry for him, actually.
Yeah.
What was that? Because people keep saying they haven't given him anything nice to kind of unveil in ages. Like, apparently the last thing he unveiled was horrible as well.
They don't respect
Foley. What was the last
thing
Foley. He unveiled?
I don't know. Wasn't he the ref in that match?
The Hell in a Cell match. Yeah.
Why is he so desperate to unveil things?
I don't know.
Why was he also wearing that T-shirt? That was a weird choice.
William Adams says, hey guys, tomorrow is my birthday, and I was wondering if we could have a Robert Roode moustache break for the occasion.
Dun, 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 dun.
I've not seen this one before.
I'll show you later.
Tomo.
Did that
Tomo?
That was. It's a thing we do in the Raw reviews. We've got like a funky moustache music video for Robert Roode.
Tomo's saying that he's going to be the 24/7 champion soon.
Huh? Bold claim.
Yeah. Zach Lindner says the 24/7 Tesco belt. No, it doesn't look like Tesco. I mean, the shop Tesco is sometimes open 24/7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dippy Dip says...
Just facts.
Yeah. There's loads of things.
Dippy Dip says, I think the 24/7 title is a stupid concept.
Ah, it's not too bad. We just spoke... Well, let's see. I don't think the concept's bad, but like you said, the execution might be terrible.
Saying let's see is the most dangerous thing in WWE, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew Perkins, no message, but thank you for your donation, Andrew. Good name. John Weber says, Truth played 4D chess and won.
4D chess? What am I missing here?
I don't know.
Is that like metaphorically? Like when people say like, oh, everyone else was playing checkers and he was playing chess.
Because he thought a few moves ahead.
Yeah.
If that Maybe. Is the case, John Weber, let us know. John DiPietro and Randy Datson's number two fan says, hello, Ollie, housemate Simon and Randy. Andy Datson, where would you guys like to see the 24/7 belt defended? I'd like to see another ball pit.
Yeah, everywhere, really. Gravy, supermarkets.
Gravy boat.
Gravy boat?
There was a gravy match in like 2000 between some women and it was incredibly sexist in WWE.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think this is the perfect time to reboot WWF New York and just have it out in there.
They just turn up there, even though it's not WWF New York.
Yeah, whatever it is now. What is it now? Like a Build-A-Bear shop or something?
Yeah, that's mine's Build-A-Bear.
God damn it. Uchi Games says you guys should check out the recent Ashley Massaro news we have, and it is horrible.
Mm. Yeah. It's not that recent, it's a resurfacing of stuff that, pretty awful.
Jobber JJ496, the 24/7 is just for Nicholas to return, #Chuck E. Cheese.
At Nicholas's school. Like, whoever's the champion, run, like, he's just trying to run anywhere and he goes, runs into this place. He doesn't realise it's a school. Yeah. And he looks in the classroom and all the kids are like, let's get him! And they run after the champion and he tries to run away and he think he like goes into a room where he thinks he's lost them and then the camera turns around and it's Nicholas's school and Nicholas is just standing there and with a referee. His dad's a referee. It's Scott Armstrong, right? Or someone. No, it's Nick Cohn. Nicholas is Nick Cohn's kid. So, yeah, his dad's there. 1, 2, 3. Nicholas is a two-time champion.
I like it.
Hmm.
Just the school, just his dad is picking him up and just runs one of them over.
Paul Pierce says, "Time to start
the rock.
Time to start delivering Amazon orders. Cheers." I imagine that's his job. So
okay,
have fun doing that,
good,
Paul.
Good luck.
Crazy Lewis says, "You started streaming while I was making a toasty.
What kind?"
Yeah,
yeah. Let us know, Crazy Lewis. Zach Lindner says, "Corbin." The
you've got this, man.
Corbin the win the main event roster belt.
Yeah, Corbin is. I don't think he'll win, but all signs point towards him versus Seth Rollins. Mm. Unfortunately,
at Stomping Ground.
Yeah.
No, as he just said that. Isaiah Fikire, who is the man with the Haitian flag as his picture, says, "Does
Andy thinks knowing flags is impressive?"
So
he always says okay. What flag it is.
I like this typo. Does Titsu O'Neil hold the shortest reign in WWE history?
Ooh.
There's definitely been like 7-second reigns and stuff, haven't there?
It's been 7-second matches. But reigns.
In the heart of when it was like the hardcore belt, there was definitely there's definitely been, I can't remember when it was, there's definitely been like some weird. Wasn't there one where didn't Harker Holly win it and then Crash Holly immediately dive on him and get
maybe
or something like that at a pay per view like years ago? I think that might maybe.
If you want to if you want a stat, R-Truth is the first person to be a winner of the old hardcore belt and the current 24/7 belt.
Mm. That is good.
How many more we got?
Plenty.
Let's have three more.
Big Loki 10 says could. Or should women be included?
Yes.
Yeah, we already said, I think that'd be fun.
I think it was weird that they weren't mentioned or involved to begin with. Mm. I just think it's weird to not establish that straight away.
The other review dude says, what if Naomi wins the title on Raw and Jimmy shows up with it on SmackDown Live? Wink. Also, push Andy Moore. You cut me off when I was saying the bit about me.
Sorry.
Also, push Andy Moore. He is very handsome and has a huge package.
Yeah. It's not the criteria for getting over in the WrestleTalk office.
No.
Otherwise, I'd be even more over.
No, it's having no hair. And lastly, Darth Ridiculous says Brock Lesnar will never be 24/7 champ. Lol.
Well, he showed up two nights in a row. And he's apparently going to show up next week.
Mm.
So let's get on with that. Also, just before we get into the main Raw show and reviewing that play-by-play, we are, me and Luke, are going to be live streaming Double or Nothing this Saturday. And if you're in the UK, because a lot of people have been asking us how to watch the event, because it changes depending on what country you're in. If you're in the UK, go over to ITV Box Office. That's where you can watch it. And you can get the details for that at www.itvboxoffice.com. And also follow at ITV Wrestling on Twitter to get all the updates there. Because I think we all want AEW to be a success, don't we? So there's some competition. Even if you're a WWE fan, you want there to be a competitor, so WWE have to be better. Anyway, the show opened with Brock Lesnar coming out with his freshly won Money in the Bank championship, listening to it like a boombox.
Yeah, that was funny.
I quite like, he already won me over. I didn't mind.
The thing I realised about Brock is that he really does legitimately get off on annoying people.
Mm.
Like, that's the happiest he's been for so long.
Yeah, on top of that ladder.
He just had such a great time. And even tonight, like even last night, he was just having the best time.
Mm. Maybe he'll show up for work more now because of that.
Yeah.
But Michael Cole kept on calling him Beast in the Bank. Did he do that at Money in the Bank?
I think he did, yeah.
Because I missed it if he did. It was annoying, and he's going to call him that all the time.
And Heyman's called him it now as well.
It's okay when Heyman does it. When Cole does it, it's immediately not cool. So Paul Heyman sort of dismissed all the stuff we were talking about yesterday, that Brock was the one who beat up Sammy, that he was the one who wormed his way into the match. He dismissed that as conspiracy theory. Yeah.
Which was strange, because we really do need some closure on that in some way. Even if it's just, even if it was just like the opening theme, just going, yeah, we did it. And move on. And we because it wouldn't have affected, because by the end of the promo, you realise that actually wouldn't have had any effect on the moving forward of this segment. So why not just clean that up and move on?
Yeah, unless they're going to have this big reveal of who it really was. But I don't think they will. I think this is just dropped now.
So do you think actually what's happened is they're suggesting that they've taken advantage of a situation and it will be revealed that it was Bray, probably, or whatever.
They just turned up and Sami Zayn just so happened to be suspended by his feet and there was an open spot in Money in the Bank.
Cut to next week, there'll be security cam footage of them like just walking past.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it was unsatisfying.
I thought the promo was good. Like the last third of the promo I thought was good.
I just didn't really like the content, really. So Seth Rollins comes out to challenge Brock, just like, you know, cash in now on me. And then this was the really good line that Heyman had. He said, no, we're going to make you wait like you had to wait for your girlfriend, like 7 hours for your girlfriend to main event WrestleMania. And then like Seth just got right up in Brock's face and Brock was staring him down back. And that felt real.
Yeah.
That was a great moment. But then what was confusing, so Kofi Kingston also came down and also said, no cash in on me. And like coming out of Money in the Bank, I thought the whole idea and motivation for the babyfaces was going to be Brock's just walked in again and been handed this thing. But they didn't do that. They just turned up and go, oh God, cash in on me. Cash in on me.
Well, I guess because they've basically just restarted the... Because Heyman mentioned... didn't he call Brock like the king of the box office or something like that? Like he said he was like the undisputed heavyweight champion of the box office, what he called it, didn't he? So they've clearly gone back to the idea that he is still the beast that needs conquering.
Mm.
But he has been conquered and we've moved on.
Yeah.
Actually, at this point, quite considerably. Like a lot's happened. Since he was previously conquered. So it just seems odd to just hit the reset button and now one of Seth or Kofi has to do that all again. It took us years to get to
that. I know. I think that's why so many people and us were down on the Money in the Bank finish. So who would you want to see? Do you want to see Seth versus Brock again or do you want to see Kofi versus Brock?
If I had to pick, I'd pick Seth.
Mm.
Because I cannot see how that. I've not seen any evidence suggest that they would book Kofi to win. So yeah. But they could justify Rollins winning again.
Yeah.
So I think if it's a case of just they need him back to boost the ratings in their view, but don't really want to actually affect too much of the title picture and story, well then let them have a quick feud and let Seth beat him again, and then have that be the end of this run.
And then move Brock to something that isn't the title picture. Yeah. So who won Money in the Bank in 2017? Because last year was a failed cash-in.
Baron Corbin.
The year before then was a failed cash-in with Corbin. So if Brock fails to cash-in, successfully that is, that's 3 years of men's losers. I can't see that happening.
No. Unless they are going to do a contract switch and someone's going to have it off him.
Mm. Maybe. So after this, we got Sami Zayn is backstage asking Bobby Lashley to help him for his match against Braun Strowman next. Last time I remember seeing those two together, they were doing that god-awful feud last year with Bobby Lashley's sisters. So WWE just ignored all of that just because heels, they're heels, so of course they work together. Yeah. And then Braun just had he chased Sammy around the building, beat him up a bit. There was a stare down between Braun and Lashley. And then Braun power slams Sammy in the ring to win.
Yeah. So that's, is this ended now? Was that it?
Maybe. Or maybe Braun will keep beating up Sammy and Lashley interferes and that's how you build.
Well, because Lashley just stood there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then Braun said, I'll deal with you later. It's quite difficult to actually at this point and we'll come onto it later, but difficult to work out where a lot of these feuds actually are at this moment, because they all seem to be kind of bumping into each other in a way that's quite messy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot more of this.
Sammy seems also to be unable to defend himself against being gently carried on one shoulder, which is an odd weakness.
I'm a baby. It's I was quite down on this because I think Sami Zayn has been doing really good work since Mania.
Mm.
And now he's just used as fuel to get Braun Strowman over for a match against Bobby Lashley that no one cares about in Super Arabia.
Yeah.
So
it's like it's almost
Super
like
Arabia.
That's what I'm calling it. Super Arabia.
It's almost like there is like a finite amount of over that the company owns.
Yeah.
And it's divvied out at various points. So if somebody does well and takes some of it, they then go, great, we can use some of that to get over this person. So now we've got to take it off Sammy and give it to Jimmy. So he just has to get, no one can just get
and
over.
It just ends everyone level.
Yeah.
After that, Triple H ran into Seth and Kofi backstage, babyface, babyface, babyfaces, and he said, you'll be facing Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley in the main event.
Now, he wasn't being an authority figure, was he? Because there aren't, supposed,
seems that way,
there
doesn't
aren't
it?
Supposed to be any of those anymore.
So this was the second consecutive night that Triple H has been in a backstage matchmaking role.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I guess they're just giving, are they just giving him... He hasn't been doing any like weird dark matches or anything, is he? Because like, is he just kind of on the road to like somehow get ready to go away? Like,
I don't know. Or maybe they're building,
giving him some TV time just so.
I think they just need an authority figure to make the matches because they don't know how to write stuff. Well, they do know how to write stuff, but stuff presumably gets changed so late in the day. They're like, oh no, we've created a plot hole. How does that? How do we make that match?
Yeah,
Chuck Hunter in there. I think it's probably more like that. Then we got Lars Sullivan for an exclusive interview to come down with Charlie Caruso. And he was just about to say his first words to the question of, what are your goals in WWE? Yeah.
What's your 5-year plan?
When Lucha House Party came down to try and beat him up.
They tried.
Didn't go too well. They got the most offense in out of anyone who's tried.
Yeah.
But he definitely beat them up.
Now, he also got a, that I noted, he got his little SmackDown banner. So this is now the second wild card of the night already?
I counted 4 in total.
4 in total, what they've kept it for. Yeah,
yeah, that was a...
Not including Shane?
No, Omni-Shane.
Omni-Shane.
He can hover omnipotently. then we got what looked like an incredible match. Cesaro versus Ricochet, which was set up earlier in the day because Ricochet was like being tended to in the trainer's room after being effed through a ladder in the Money in the Bank match. And he had all the tape on his back. And Cesaro was just like, oh, you're so weak.
The new cocky Cesaro, I guess.
Mm. And he's got new entrance music as well. Yeah. Not Sheamus's anymore.
Very quite serious, dark lighting.
Yeah.
This is kind of a new... A bit Which more aggressive in the ring.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. And this seemed to be a very, very good match. The crowd were chanting, this is awesome. But it was all in an ad break. And then it came back from an ad break. And I was like, oh, okay, now we can watch it.
Yeah.
And there were a few really cool spots. Ricochet's about to go for a dive. Shrink screen. Here's a promo for The Secret Life of Pets 2. And then it came back from that. And Cesaro won.
Yeah. It was really bizarre.
And they showed a few replays. And I was like, this looks like a really good match. And then if you go on the WWE.com gallery, even though this was about 4 minutes of TV time, there are 40 photos of it.
Yeah.
And usually you get 20 photos a match.
It was very bizarre.
Mm.
And I think to do all that, and I still, and this is I think, maybe a slightly niche bugbear of mine, but he needs a new finisher. That neuralized thing is not great.
Yeah, I think it should just be the uppercut.
Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of was for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that wasn't... It was quite it sort of become, renders sometimes quite spectacular sequences a little bit flat.
What, the up... Or the yeah, just because it's a bit clunky. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the uppercut should be his finish. So this is good for Cesaro because that's his second consecutive win since the brand's... Since the draft, whatever it was. But he hasn't really had any momentum built off the back of that. But this is Ricochet's second loss since then. And he was undefeated in singles matches before then. So it's just like, like you said earlier, beat EC3 or yeah. or someone else like that. So that's a real shame. And then we got AJ Styles and Baron Corbin backstage. AJ was talking about the Seth match. Baron said it should have been him who got the shot because he had pinned Seth.
That was quite convoluted, actually, yeah. in a way.
And AJ slapped Corbin.
Yeah. Great glove slap.
Mm. I enjoyed that slap.
It was a good slap. He yeah. really caught him.
And it felt like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I'm in the room. But then Corbin left. So maybe maybe an AJ Baron match next week.
Well, that's yeah, I thought that was going to suddenly spin into something. That was when someone was going to make that match. So I guess we've got that to look forward to, as they say.
Oh, yeah. But maybe that's the number one contenders match that yeah. gets to the advertised Corbin Rollins matches. Ugh. Roman Reigns came out for a promo. Should we just say he's on Raw?
Yeah.
he's a SmackDown guy.
Well, so can we... Does he get Omni status?
Maybe he is an Omni Reigns.
I think we've got an Omni Shane and an Omni Reigns.
Yeah. And you'd think, oh, they're on both brands. They could feud with different people. No, they're just locked in this omniverse together. Because Shane comes out before Roman can really say anything and says, yeah, let's have a match at Super Arabia.
It's they're in purgatory.
Mm.
And also, but he's still, this is what confused me, still feuding with The Miz.
Yeah, it seems that way, yeah.
Even though he was very clear that he was just done with The Miz went, no, you're not.
Well, that could be a heel
thing. Shane is currently having two entirely, basically separate and equally TV important feuds on two different shows.
Yeah.
That are happening on both shows.
Yeah. And he's not a good wrestler and he's not a good screen presence. But he is the son of the owner of the company.
Yeah. Which he now brings up. Out.
Yeah. I'm just not into Shane. I wasn't really that into Shane as a babyface, and it's just even worse now he's a heel.
Because he said I'm just a spoiled rich kid or something.
Yeah, Roman called him that. I
think he said it first.
Oh, did he say it first?
Yeah,
right.
And that's when he brought out. He goes, that's why I can do what I want like this, and brought McIntyre out, who then did nothing.
That I thought, okay, so we're gonna get a Drew Roman match now,
but or then they're gonna fight.
Yeah, it just disintegrated.
Ended.
And it's just...
And they both went about their days.
There's this awful group of people who are just lumped together in WWE who are all, like, largely very talented. But WWE don't... They just need a faction. But they don't want to book a faction.
Yeah.
So you've got this vortex of Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Elias, and Shane McMahon. It's just generic heels.
Yeah. It's also strange that in a company that is obsessed with monsters and monster heels and all that kind of stuff, that three of those are really big people.
Yeah.
Particularly McIntyre. And you go, so like, but they all have to constantly work together to beat often quite considerably smaller opponents. So it's always really oddly, I always find it really oddly booked that now, so like, is Drew McIntyre really the Scottish psychopath or is he Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah.
Really? Like, is he... Like, he doesn't seem to... There's no difference in the booking, really. It's quite strange.
Yeah, he's always someone's second. Yeah. And that's why I hated this when he came out for Shane. Because Drew McIntyre is very good. Very, very good. He shouldn't be someone's second. He should be his own act.
Mm.
But yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with the second rising, but amongst two other seconds that are also equally big. It's just confusing. And he must be getting at this point pretty sick of doing his finisher in places that aren't a ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he always goes like...
Shane and Drew are walking backstage, heels, heels, heels. And then, yeah, The Miz just suddenly appears, wild card, and stares them and says there's going to be a match later.
Mm.
Whatever. Then I thought the show got good. I didn't like that all that stuff that happened before. But then we got the Usos versus the Revival.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a goofy bit in sight. And they had a very good TV match.
It was great.
There were so many great near falls.
Yeah. Like,
the Revival are so good at breaking up pins with their heads.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, decks him off.
Yeah, it was a great match. I think they did it was really good heel work at the start, just doing the classic, just getting them out of the ring, beating them up, and then found these like little ways to get really early advantage, nearly got a pinfall quite early on, and then it just kind of settled down again. Like the way it was just the way it kind of just the story of it just played out really, really well. Yeah, yeah. It was a great match.
And the end was just chaos with super kick, dive, finisher. And the full end, I believe, was Dawson hooking the tights.
Yes, it was.
So I thought this was great. The Revival finally win. It's a serious match. Now I'm into this feud.
Yeah. Like,
this is what I needed. I didn't need bull cream and shaving of backs.
But here's one thing we've learned particularly about the Usos over the last 2 or 3 years is that when you've run out very quickly of mid-card singles wrestling, just let them and another good tag team have loads of matches against each other. And you can put that match wherever you want for as long as you want, and it'll probably be pretty good, if not sometimes the best thing of the night. So just let it happen.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's fine. How long we got? 10 minutes? Send them out.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It's free work. Should we work really hard to script out this in-ring 20-minute promo, or just let these guys wrestle for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's easier and it's better.
Yeah.
I know. So this is rare. Next up came a Moment of Bliss segment that I actually enjoyed.
Oh, this is interesting because I did not enjoy it.
I famously hate this segment.
I hate all TV shows on my TV show.
Yes. I think there's never been an even remotely good version of this show.
No. Can we say the only good one ever? Oh, the only good one ever is when Jericho Sean had their one where he punched.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so then I think some can work.
I think 2 episodes of them have probably worked ever.
Yeah, ever. But I think specifically A Moment of Bliss is crap.
Yeah.
But here I didn't mind it. The only bugbear I had really was that Nikki Cross is this admiring minion. And she just is like, I'm not the Nikki Cross character now. I'm Alexa's friend. Which we've seen that story play out loads of times with different Alexa friends. So it's boring anyway. Yeah. And then it just doesn't make sense for her to do that and then go into crazy Nikki in a match.
But it's weird because she's like stopped wetting the hair and stopped doing she's definitely changed her makeup as well. So she's definitely changed. I don't know whether she's slowly building to this thing where she's trying to do the Mickey Trish thing, where she's trying to become Alexa.
Maybe
that's the slow burn of what this is. But
anyway, the other people who came out, well, it was Becky Lynch was the guest. She came out, and the Iconics quickly came out and made fun of One Belt Becky, which they thought was hilarious.
The Iconics got a massive pop.
They did, didn't they?
They're
which
really
nice.
Over.
Yeah, and they never were. But this little tag belt run seems to be improving it. And then Lacey Evans came out. And then Becky challenged them all to a fight. And they were like, you need a partner. And Nikki Cross, quite in a nice moment, went, I'll be your partner.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
And then, I know. The bit I didn't like is is just when they were like, and then who are you going to get? It's like, oh, is this literally a pantomime at this point? It was just a bit like, okay, well, let's give the audience some credit. Mm. We can count. If the refs can't.
This turned into a 6-person. Alexa Bliss was the other person who made up the numbers on the babyface side. But she didn't do anything. She just stayed on the apron.
With a cup of coffee.
With a cup of coffee, which I found quite funny as well.
Yeah, I quite liked it. Mm. Well, she's good at. She's really good at playing that that role. I think that should be. There's nothing really to do, but she made it so that when she was caught on camera, she was always doing something. It added, it kept it going. You didn't forget she was there. I think she did good stuff.
She's good at it. But what role is it? Is it a baby face? Is she a heel?
I think she's a heel.
Yeah, I think she's a heel.
I think that she's a heel, and we all should be wanting her baby face minion to find themselves.
But she's not a full heel.
Well, no, because she's also the happy-go-lucky host of WrestleMania.
It's confusing. Does Vince still
think she's the cheerleader?
Potentially.
From NXT.
And Alexa never got in the ring, though, so that implies that she is probably not clear to wrestle still after whatever happened last week and when she was pulled to Money in the Bank. Yes, Randy, Andy, that's
people
it.
Saying you missed out Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, well, I was going to loop back to it.
Ah, okay.
Because it was easier to just talk about one complete segment.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody.
Although it's quite good how Alexa got in the ring and tried to celebrate, and Becky was just like,
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, Becky like left quite quickly.
Yeah.
And Alexa and Nikki celebrated. But yeah, so next up, actually in between these two bits, was Firefly Funhouse. It wasn't a full segment.
No, it wasn't a full episode.
Mm.
It was more of a just, I thought it was just more of a promo package.
It was an extended opening credits of Firefly Funhouse. Started off nice, here's some stock images of children enjoying themselves. And then it slowly got a bit distorted and horrible, and the kids' faces were distorted, and they had "Let Him In" written on their shirts or foreheads.
It was great. Ugh. See, this is what's so interesting about WWE, but also a show, any show that's 3 hours long and is also a live event, which is that somebody at some point is sending someone out to go, look, this last hour, look, let's do something different with it. Let's make it gritty. Let's make it challenging and more grown up to get to some people to stay longer. Okay, so let's send Mick Foley out. Let's have a sort of a hardcore thing. Let's dim the lights, whatever. It's like, you know, you've got literally a psycho children's entertainer. you're already doing it. Guys.
Yeah.
You're already, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been on TV. We've seen it.
I thought this was his like Titantron.
I thought
he was going to come out after this, and this was going to be the debut. But we're still being teased.
Yeah,
I just want him to show up now.
Yeah.
I feel like now's the peak of momentum, because this week wasn't as good as last week, and I think you should sort of make things get better every week as opposed to a holding pattern.
Last week, because of the reveal of the mask, it really peaked.
Mm.
So I think, to then go to just a promo package and not escalate that further, he's now either got to turn next week, or I don't think they'll ever recapture that momentum again.
Yeah, yeah. So then we got the WWE this thing revealed. Then we got the Miz versus Drew McIntyre, which I got bored of.
Yeah.
Shane interfered a bit behind the referee's back. Drew eventually won. Shane's going to give him a coast to coast. And Roman chases them off.
It's quite difficult when the big guy, little-ish guy format is actually inverted, in the sense that the more gifted wrestler, both athletically and technically, is actually the bigger guy.
Yeah.
That suddenly then feels awkward.
That's a good point.
I don't know. It just doesn't, the chemistry, I don't think, it's never going to be there, I don't think. So it was a bit of a dull.
Yeah. Dull match. I don't know if it was because they turned the lights down on the audience. But I did feel, and I didn't realise that until, I knew something was different, but I hadn't quite clocked until after this match. So maybe my brain was just subconsciously going to sleep with less light.
Oh, somebody must have been asleep.
Yeah.
You can't sit down in a warm room for 2.5 hours and someone turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And not have a little bit of a
couple of beers.
Yeah.
Then we got the Samoa Joe promo. He revealed that Rey Mysterio has separated his shoulder. So there's going to be a State of the US title address next week. Mm. He said, hand me back my US title to Ray.
It was when they showed the replay of Money in the Bank and they see the shoulder not up. The weird thing about it is, now they've really slowed it down for us, is it starts off sort of down and then rolls up between the sort of first and second count, stays there. And then at about 3, he does then kick out separately. So it's just quite a weird, when you actually watch Backstab, it's just a really weird 4 seconds of time that happened. Yeah. It's like, what the hell? It seemed like they all thought something else was happening.
Yeah.
At all at the same time. It was quite a strange.
Even if you were trying to do this thing, you still didn't do that thing properly.
It's funny, if you slow something down like that, it's suddenly, you suddenly have all these new sort of thoughts about it.
Do you want to hear what I think is going to happen next week?
With the state of the...
The state of the US title. Samoa Joe, because he rightfully never actually lost the belt. It was a bad refereeing call. He's asked Ray to give it back to him to do the right thing. So he makes Dominic... He's like, I'm not going to have it unless Dominic gives it to me.
Yeah.
And that's how you sort of start the feud with Dominic.
Do you think it's quite strange that ultimately having a... like a monster heel, basically... You should be sympathetic to someone who gets screwed over by a ref.
Mm, yeah, it doesn't really work.
It doesn't work at all.
No. It's like, it's backwards psychologically.
Yeah.
And then the main event was the tag match of Kofi and Seth versus Corbin and Lashley. Baron Corbin still getting main events. Not that I don't like Baron Corbin. There's just too much of him.
Yeah. I mean, he... Right. So this is now... How many weeks around now have we had the... Sorry, you guys...
I'm just rolling around.
So we've now had... How many weeks around now have we had the two faces get set up for a tag match at the start of the night?
Yeah, it feels like for a while.
It's just... And it's always the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was... It was an all right match, though. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, they sort of changed it to a no DQ match as the baby faces were making their entrances.
I thought that was quite good, actually.
Yeah, and then Corbin and Lashley jumped them.
I like how Kofi sort of reacted to it.
Mm.
Like, sort of checked with the announcer.
Yeah, that was nicely done. But it just, again, it raises questions. Who's making that change?
Well, it must be, you assume Shane. Who is not an authority figure, because there are no authority figures.
But he's not feuding with... I get that he's Omni. He's an Omni Shane, but he's not feuding with Seth and Kofi.
No, but I just thought it was kind of suggested that he's just kind of messing with everything now.
But then is Shane behind the Sami Zayn thing and Brock Lesnar coming back?
Because Corbin hasn't got a... Maybe, okay, can you assume that because there is a on-screen connection between the sort of the vortex, that's where the influence has come from.
But Brock Lesnar isn't in that vortex. If anything, Sami Zayn was part of that vortex because McIntyre and Corbin helped him get into the Money in the Bank match.
So is this actually part of the quote-unquote conspiracy that Paul Heyman discussed?
I don't know. It's messy. Like you said, whatever way you want to look at it, it doesn't work.
What a great thing it would be to have. And if they wanted, I don't know whether this would completely explode the internet or not. But like... If it turned out that part of Brock's new deal was that he got percentage ownership of the company and was actually like a controlling interest.
I wonder what ramifications that would have on the actual share value of the company. Like when Trump won the company and the stock prices went up. So this match was... I checked out a bit. I've got no interest in seeing Corbin and Lashley together. I think they're a boring team. They haven't got much presence.
Yeah.
And the babyfaces won eventually. Kofi hit the Trouble in Paradise for the win. Just like the latest, more strong booking of Kofi.
Mm.
And it's... Yeah, he
I thought the match had some good moments. Like had some good spots. Everyone got their... Like, babyfaces got their stuff in.
I'm just not into Corbin and Lashley. So I've just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at arm's
length. I've got a lot more time for Corbin than I do for Lashley.
Mm. But the big thing really was Lesnar coming down at the end and teasing to cash in his briefcase on one of them.
He was never going to, was he?
Mm.
Because they had obviously set up the fact that they were sat there with their weapons ready to... They had conquered the thing that was supposed to, you know. So to still do the big walk... I don't know, I think... Sometimes you can set you do have to set something up to then like see it through to its end. But at the same time, if you make it so obvious, you have to. Is there anything else we can do?
Yeah.
Is there anything at all?
Well, this was in
make it seem even slightly more likely that he might cash in. Like maybe have them get like attacked again,
mm-hmm.
So just to open up that possibility. Just something to make it not just a bloke walking around.
I agree with you. But then I saw some reactions on Reddit, and that everyone was terrified. Just the visual of seeing Seth Rollins slightly behind someone with a chair.
Oh, yeah.
Was that like everyone's been burnt so much by that Shield turn all those years ago that they thought they were really scared that he was going to hit Kofi with the chair, run through the crowd to save his own belt, and then Brock cashes in on Kofi. Obviously, that isn't what happened. But
that would have been amazing.
That would have been really good. But do you want to see Seth turn heel now?
No.
But Lesnar said he'll reveal who he's going to face next week. So what do you
Heyman
think of the
said
show?
That to him,
yeah. Man. What did you think of the show overall?
I actually quite liked it. Mm. I think they just had more wrestling in it, so I just enjoyed it more. There wasn't so all the promos weren't really strung out. Very confused by the Omni Shane. I think the wild. Now we all know now that the wild card rule doesn't really exist. It's just a way of not getting rid of pretending that the brand split still exists.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. Oh, that's like it makes it difficult, more confusing to watch now. But fine, whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought all the matches were good. Nothing bitterly disappointed me or angered me.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. I gave it an average. I gave it 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, solid show. And they're making steps. I think this could be potentially quite exciting.
More wrestling with more people we like. That is actually not a bad thing to throw out the wall to see if it sticks.
Yet.
Yet.
So let's have your super chat.
Yeah, well, first of all, Luke Owen has jumped into the chat.
No.
So he's more interested in his hash browns than he is in the 24/7 championship. He also says, I'm fine with it not having hardcore rules. No one cared about the hardcore stuff with the title. We just like the title switches.
Have a day off, Luke.
That's what I've said.
He's trying to take your title.
I told him to do a super chat and he says he can't afford it. So there you go. But Sanj TP starts us off. We've got a lot of these to get through. So mean Charlie Caruso to win the 24/7 belt.
Yes. That would be amazing.
Sir Ra Pro Fitness says 24/7 title is a great way to bring Nia back when she's cleared. They have no problem having her face, guys. No, thank you. I just don't like Nia, but that messes me.
I completely forgot
that
she beat up Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, she pushed him.
Well, she was in the Men's Royal Rumble and all that.
That wasn't him that she beat up, it was Ali she threw out.
But the day after, they had a sort of stare down, didn't they?
Yeah.
On Raw.
Greg Smith says, perfect belt for Brock Lesnar to be gone 24/7. People have to go find him.
It's not a bad idea. And then they could go to his compound where he's hunting and he just shoots at them. Go and try and get near me.
Randall Kyle says, hello, you lovely lads. Just wanted to say you guys are the only thing keeping me interested in WWE right now. Cheers from Georgia.
Thanks for watching.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just refreshed all the chats.
Again.
You've got this,
Andy. No, but
we believe in you.
It refreshed all of them very suddenly. Josh Saloom says 24/7 championship is because Brock will take the title again, most likely, and they need a title to be defended weekly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is very much an undercard belt. I don't think you're going to get the mid to upper card doing this.
Luke Woodford says the 24/7 belt could be good, but it looks weak when the only people running to get it is the people who are doing absolutely nothing on TV. Thoughts?
Well, that's what the hardcore belt was. That was, you know, it was Ravens and Hollies, and every now and again you had like Kane and Big Show going for it. But largely speaking, it was the lower card.
This is a joke belt.
Yeah,
like it's not a belt to be treated seriously. The whole point is, and I'm totally fine with that.
They could defend it in the 50-man battle royal. Every single person who throws one over
funny.
The top. Samuel Newsom says defended at a Walmart because I work at one.
I mean, yeah. Play those odds. It might be yours.
John Weber says, yes, he was playing chess while they were playing checkers. Yes, you were right. So, Michael Williams, Ollie, can you imagine anyone else but the mid or lower cards with this thing? Cream goodness.
Yeah, I think you could get a comedy. Like Kevin Owens is very, some of the main tier are very, very good at comedy. Mm. AJ Styles just accidentally winning it for a bit and becoming weirdly obsessive over it. Yeah, so one of the top guys who's not really doing much could just have some fun for a month.
Anshu Kamal says, what is wrong with WWE? Brock Lesnar winning Money in the Bank and now 24/7. Vince McMahon is too old to carry it.
They're trying to improve ratings. I don't think you can look on paper and say bringing back one of the biggest stars of the last decade, Brock Lesnar, and this way to inject some fun into the product is a bad idea.
I think also the 24/7 thing, they're very much... this is the first thing, I guess, that really... connect is the real connecting tissue between social media and the internet and the on-screen product, because often the two things exist quite separately. Yeah. So it's kind of wonder whether that's kind of also trying to bring some of the younger eyes back onto the last hour.
Nick Jen says, I want Brock to see the belt and just be like, what the fudge?
And then win it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Just one foot on someone's chest.
Armless Ambidextrous says, would CGW's version be a 1-1 belt? More CGW content, please. Love the whole crew. More CGW, please. CGW, CGW, CGW. Everyone keep up the good work.
CGW, crap gimmick wrestling.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a really specific time, so it could only be defended on the second Tuesday of the month at 3:30 a.m.
Just people queuing up.
Yeah. Naheem Quattlebaum, great name. I hope Nicholas becomes a 20-time 24/7 champ.
Oh, yeah. But that means he has to lose 19 times. I don't want that.
Is he gonna, he should win every year. It's his birthday.
Yeah, that's nice.
Ryan Flint says, feels like the belt pushes the WWE Network show 24/7.
I didn't think of that. I don't think that's part of it.
I mean, they do. That is the logo, which is the one thing I did think was weird, is that it does seem like a bit of an oversight.
Tanner Blaze says, a returning Darren Young to be the next 24/7 champ. That is niche.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
The Stanman 222 24/7 belt equals the undercard belt with no value already.
No, I think it has value, but it's just not everything gets to be the WWE title.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not serious value. It's comedy value, but that doesn't mean it's valueless.
Mm. It's actually putting the comedy in a wrestling context by having a belt rather than trophies and cake. Which I'm more into.
MDW says, just sending my love to all the guys at WrestleTalk. Oh, we're sending it back, MDW.
Ah, thank you.
TJ Deacon 717. Hey, Ollie, Simon, and Heel Datsun. Not sure how this now works, but with the introduction of 24/7 title, are there still Grand Slam champions?
Ooh. Why isn't Grand Slam, you have to win the top, the main belt?
Yeah. I mean, Seth's not going to win the 205, the cruiserweight, either, is he? So,
well, we'll see.
Yeah, it's tag, mid, and the main, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
So. Jobber J496 says, Brock didn't win Money in the Bank. He won his Saudi money.
Yeah, I think that's what... Yeah, the Money in the Bank is literal. It was a bank transfer.
Did you see the other day that someone pointed out that Bayley is now the first ever Grand Slam Women's Champion because she's won Raw, SmackDown, Tag, and NXT.
Oh.
They definitely did that by mistake.
Yeah.
otherwise, it would be Charlotte. Yeah.
Jer Personen says, WrestleTalk tier list. S rank, I don't know, what that, maybe super rank, Luke. A rank, housemate Simon, Andy, and Pete. B rank, Ollie. F rank, Laurie Blake.
What do the letters mean?
Yeah, it's like tier lists from the video games. So like characters are S, A, B, C, D, F.
So what, am I bottom, am I second to bottom?
Yeah, so S rank is Luke, so super, I guess. A rank for awesome rank is Simon, Andy and Pete. B rank for
I remember where
bad.
I remember where
B rank, B rank is Ollie.
Yeah, well let's move it. Jer Personen said that.
Yeah.
What the hell, Jer?
I'll
He's a Patreon.
So that was Luke A. No, Luke
yeah,
S.
No, no, no. Yeah. We've been through it. Let's move on to the next
Ollie
one.
Ollie was B rank. That other review dude says, I meant the video package of all his greatness. He said something earlier, but I can't remember what it was.
Video package of all his greatness. It's like a riddle.
So I can scroll back up if you want to.
Lars Sullivan has the same video package of just his destruction.
Dang, 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 dang. Demented Big Ben.
Matt Dennis says, so you guys think the WWE is trying to be more edgy lately, and it just refreshed. Last night in the dark segment, McIntyre said, when I talk, you listen.
Oh, wow, did he? Kinky. The lights go out. Drew after dark. Dark
the
McIntyre.
Assault Squad and Handy Haynes have donated without a message. So thank you to them. Danny DeVito's back in and says, oh, God, Nikki Cross is the new Festus.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. When the bell rings, she's a different person. Yeah, it's not believable.
Game Fanatic says, Foley YouTube video after Raw said it's the new hardcore belt and will specifically be fun. Also, clearly, they're building to Brock belt unification.
I can't see that happening.
No.
Bobby's vlog says, WWE can't use the HXC title in this new... Oh my God, no! I don't know what that
means. The new hardcore title in this, oh my God.
No.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, they can't.
No.
Andy Haynes says, just from a kayfabe point of view, why would you want the 24/7 title? Zero prestige, can't cut promos, wrestling isn't wrestling.
Because you don't get on TV otherwise.
Yeah. KJ says, 2 years ago today, Jinder won the WWE title. I can still feel scars from his reign.
So I was watching NXT TakeOver Chicago the other day, and it had, for the Wrestle Ramble Extra review on Patreon. And there was a promo for Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal at Backlash. I was like, oh, I forgot this happened. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sam Cropper, no a donation, obviously, but no message. But thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Tomo says, aren't I just amazing?
You are, Tomo.
You great, Tomo. Ring Profits Wrestlecast says, Ray has trademarked Prince Mysterio, might be Dominic, new ring name once signed, if not already.
It's a cool name.
What was the name, sorry?
Prince Mysterio.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, Laurie and Luke didn't. Benny Sato, Tomo's number one fan now. The up, up, down, down has more prestige than a 24/7 belt.
Oh, I see what you mean. The Xavier Wood. Mm. Yeah, but that's been built up. This is the first night.
The poor wayfaring gamer, donation, but no message. So thank you to him. James Williams says Kona Reeves for the 24/7 champion.
Sure. Anyone.
Ah, that's interesting. Where would they put the NXT and, I guess, the network roster?
Mm.
If you just had a list of all of the rosters, would they all go below the main roster undercard, like lower tier?
Oh, yeah.
So to them, Adam Cole is lower than...
To them.
That's what
not
I mean,
to yeah. us.
Vince so it'll be interesting heard. How that actually
Vince
plays
hasn't
out
heard of
the
Adam
belt.
Cole.
So they would never go to Kona Reeves. They'd have to go through all the Undisputed Era, Velveteen Dream, and everyone else before they even got anywhere near that level of talent.
Mm.
Can you imagine
that? That's the Undisputed Era's main roster debut, winning the 24/7 belt.
They all win it.
Trade it between themselves.
Yeah. The Only Lemon says, I want someone to win the 24/7 on table for three.
That'd be funny. Yeah, really, really good idea.
That'd be funny to play with the idea that it could happen on the network as well. It just happens in like, or in one of
ride
the...
Ride along,
yeah. That's what it was. That was their episode. It should just be true.
Yeah,
in the car, he just lets him out the other
that
end.
Red. Austin Tussie says, heel Michael Cole as 24/7 champ. I mean, that's probably going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Commentators should win. Well, Corey was angling for it, wasn't he? On commentary. So
I thought it was really funny listening to Corey try and hide his... disdain at what was going on, and he was just trying very hard to just throw in as much sarcasm and irony as possible into every single word he said. He was disgusted.
The poor wayfaring gamer says WWE apparently hired Timex for the belt design. I don't know what that is.
That's a watch company, isn't it?
That might be a joke in that case. Anshu Kamal says, that's the point. Brock Lesnar is the biggest star of the last decade. We need a new star.
Yeah.
But someone has to put over... an all-star always has to put over the new star at some point.
Hmm.
At some point. So I thought it had already happened multiple times, but apparently it hasn't. Or I guess it hasn't happened, hasn't gone well enough.
The thing is that the people who WWE think are stars are not the people that fan thinks are stars. So the whole Roman going over The Undertaker and stuff, people are like, we didn't...
Well, I disagree. Roman is a star. Like... He is. It's just that louder adults
not boo stars
him.
We want.
Yeah.
Kids
still buy all that stuff and wear it. It's just a, you know.
How many more we got, Andy?
We've got five more.
Cool.
Yellow Boy Riddle says, good morning, Ollie, housemate Simon, Randy, Annie from Tennessee. What do you guys think about the 24/7 belt having its own social media?
Yeah, that'd be quite handy to keep track of everything.
Yeah. If they keep the pace up, that would be very funny to just wake up and just see on Twitter that it changed a bunch of times. Like just like if you like it should change hands on up, up, down, down. Like they should really go bonkers with it.
House shows.
And if you want to keep up to date, we are going to have a up-to-date list on WrestleTalk.com for every single 24/7 title change.
You're
going to
regret that.
I've given it to Louis. Christopher Martin simply says AEW.
Yep, well, we're going to be live streaming this Saturday, ITV box office for you UK viewers.
Matthew Rivera, no message, but thank you to him. Evie Duran says, love from Arizona.
Thank you very much, Evie Duran.
Thank you, Evie. And lastly, Adrian Wells says, when do you think Bray Wyatt will have a match? What's next for Aleister Black?
Well, because Aleister Black's promos and videos have been so cryptic as to leave absolutely no clue whatsoever as to what he's actually going to do. So I assume he's just going to appear in a segment and beat someone up. But who that person will be is just kind of... I guess they'll decide on the night.
Yeah, it looks like Bray won't debut in the ring for another, re-debut in the ring for another couple of weeks, I reckon now.
He's just had a kid, didn't he?
But
should we wait till the?
But he can wrestle. But the
paternity leave.
He's been off for ages. I think he's gagging to get back, probably. But Aleister Black, this is a new pay-per-view cycle. Money in the Bank's happened, so hopefully they've got something for him. Yeah.
Yep.
But that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for everyone joining in. And please click the videos that have just appeared on the desk there to catch up with the latest awesome Wrestle Talk things. And this button right here, which will get you Patreon benefits. All the stuff that's
patrons
on there.
With benefits.
Yes. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Housemate Simon. Over there is WrestleTalk.com's Randy Andy Datson. And that was Rambling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.